Hello and welcome to South Asia Chat, a podcast series brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies at the National University of Singapore. My name is Saiduddin Faridi. I'm a research analyst at ISAS, and I will be your host for today's episode, where we look at green hydrogen and its prospects in India. Green hydrogen is likely to play an important role in the global efforts against climate change. As a clean fuel and feedstock, it provides solutions for challenges such as decarbonization in heavy industries, energy storage, energy transitions, and mobility, among other issues. This potential of green hydrogen has given rise to a global push towards scaling up its production. Green hydrogen is also an important element in India's ambitious plans, such as the goal to be an energy-independent country by 2047 and achieving carbon neutrality by 2070. For that, India has launched several projects and policy measures to push the production of green hydrogen in the country as it aims to become a global hub for green hydrogen production. To discuss the current and future trajectory of green hydrogen in India, we are delighted to have with us Dr. Guncha Munjal, Program Manager for Hydrogen at WRI India, and Mr. Anurag Nalapaneni, Senior Program Associate Hydrogen at WRI India as well. Dr. Munjal and Mr. Nalapaneni, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Syed.
Hi, Syed. Thank you for having us.
Dr. Munjal, I will start off the conversation with you. Earlier this year, India launched its green hydrogen strategy with aims to become a competitive global player within the sector. From the signaling that we have seen in the public and private sectors, there is optimism around green hydrogen in the medium and long term. Why is green hydrogen becoming so vital to the future of energy, and what explains the interest that has grown around it significantly over the years?
Well, when we talk about green hydrogen, we mean that hydrogen which is produced by electrolysis of water powered by renewable electricity. It has also been obtained without generating pollutant emissions. That is, it is sustainable hydrogen. And as you already mentioned, it is considered as a key vector for achieving the global decarbonization and fulfilling the commitment made for 250 in the fight against the climate change. So I think there are three reasons why green hydrogen is vital to the future. First one, it is a clean energy, which means that it only generates water and oxygen when it is burned. Along with, it can be produced with the process which is known as electrolysis, as already mentioned by me. Second reason I feel is that it can be stored for a long time and can be transported through a long distance. Hydrogen, being a light element, can be compressed at a higher pressure and can be stored and transports in tanks for a longer distance. We won't talk about the economics right now maybe. And third reason which I feel is very important is that green hydrogen is going to play an important role in eliminating emissions from some hard to abate sectors which are currently difficult to electrify. For example, fertilizers and refineries and steel. And for your second question, why has interest around it has grown significantly over the years? I think there are two reasons why everyone is focusing around green hydrogen. It is the quest for self-reliance and concern for the environment. So if we talk about the energy security, green hydrogen has the potential to enhance the energy security. We talk about, for example, let's take an example of India. India imports around 10 million tons of urea, 5 million tons of DAP, and around 3 million tons of ammonia. And if India is able to produce 5 million metric tons of domestic green hydrogen as envisioned in the mission, I think the expense of the export can be come down. The secondary is the decarbonization. The reason is decarbonization. It will help in decarbonization. Also, I think the levelized cost of hydrogen or green hydrogen depends upon the renewable cost of renewable electricity. With time, there is a significant decrease in the cost of electricity, which includes generation, transmission, distribution, and these are the significant drivers of the levelized cost of hydrogen. Lower renewable energy cost results in more competitive levelized cost of hydrogen, and I believe that these two or three things are responsible for making hydrogen the talk of the town.
Thank you for that answer, Dr. Munjal, and thank you for putting green hydrogen in the larger context of national interest, and particularly when it comes to decarbonization. Mr. Nalapaneni, coming to you now, how would you characterize the current status of hydrogen and green hydrogen industry in India?
Thanks, Ayit. I think that's a very important question. So India currently produces and consumes about 6 million metric tons of hydrogen. This hydrogen, though, is predominantly grey hydrogen produced from natural gas. India also has capacity for coal gasification, through which hydrogen is also produced. Of the 6 million metric tons of hydrogen currently produced and consumed, almost all of it is split between refineries for hydrocracking desulfurization of crude oil and fertilizers for the production of ammonia. Other than these two sectors, there exists very limited use cases for hydrogen outside the industrial sector. As India continues to grow, as its economy continues to expand, the scope for hydrogen within existing use cases is also expected to grow. India also, like Dr. Guncha was mentioning, there is an import of ammonia and urea that India also undertakes. Importing fossil fuels, ammonia and urea causes a huge amount of forex outflow for the country, which India wants to reduce the dependence on importing these energy sources or fertilizers. So with the launch of the National Hydrogen Mission, India wants to now transition the existing hydrogen production from grey to green, as well as make sure that any incremental capacity that is established for hydrogen production is also green. In a sense, basically making sure that the import of fossil fuels can be curbed by domestic production of green hydrogen. Existing use cases aside, there are also other applications for hydrogen which are slowly cropping up. For example, the transport sector, which has predominantly been based on fossil fuels today, is looking at decarbonization alternatives through electrification and also through hydrogen fuel cell or hydrogen combustion vehicles. This is also another key sector that India hopes to tap into as hydrogen production starts to move away from fossil-based hydrogen or fossil fuel-based hydrogen to green hydrogen. And on the last piece, current green hydrogen projects in India are already underway. There are a few commercial scale projects for production of ammonia which have been announced and which are expected to reach FID and start construction within this financial year. There have also been pilot projects initiated across the fertilizers and refining sectors for production of green hydrogen at the location where these fertilizer plants and refineries exist. The mission, the National Hydrogen Mission, which was announced in January 2023, basically gives the scope for adoption in existing sectors, but also creates opportunities for additional sectors outside of fertilizers and refining to co-adopt green hydrogen. Pilot projects across this as well in the transport space are beginning to see development. So, in a sense, the current status of hydrogen in India, though predominantly is grey, the government has shown a very strong impetus as well as offered massive incentives for the industry to shift away from grey hydrogen to green hydrogen. The future looks quite promising with India having an ambitious target of 5 million metric tons of just green hydrogen by 2030 as well. So going forward, we hope to see a lot of green hydrogen projects getting established to meet not only the existing demand but also to cater for the incremental increase in demand as the economy grows.
Thank you, Mr. Nalapaneni. I think that kind of gives us an idea of where we are at and what are the directions we are taking in terms of industries. And I want to now bring the conversation more towards how and what India is doing. And one of the important things is R&D and innovation in newer technologies. Innovation plays a key role when it comes to adoption. And when we look at metrics like filing of patents, a lot of the work that is being done in the hydrogen and green hydrogen domain is being carried out in the EU and Japan, which have led the filing of patents in the last decade. And increasingly, China is also an important player in this domain. And we've seen Indian private players like Reliance acquiring firm and signing agreements with European companies which have advanced technologies, or getting into partnerships like with Adani and Total Energies. So how do you see India fare with respect to R&D in green hydrogen technology? Dr. Munjal, if you would like to take that.
Sure, Sayed. As truly said by you, that innovation plays an important role in technology developments. For this, you might be aware that India has recently launched a draft R&D roadmap that supports innovation to increase the viability and feasibility of green hydrogen production, storage, transportation, and utilization. With keeping in notice that the system effectiveness, safety, and reliability are the important issues. Here in the mission, we have launched, MNRE has launched R&D program, which identifies three important programs as mission mode project and grand challenge projects and the blue sky project. But here I would like to mention some of the pilot projects as which are undertaken by some of the industry. And I think pilot projects hold the key to innovation and experimentation. So firstly, I will mention about the green hydrogen mobility project, which is undertaken by NTPC. It has a dedicated solar plant of 1.7 megawatt capacity, which produces 80 kg of hydrogen in the sunshine hour. It stores hydrogen at around 500 bar and then finally dispense at 350 bar of pressure. And presently, they are planning to have 5 fuel cell buses which can run on it in the Leh region. So I think that this type of pilot project will give a boost to the complete development, research and development and deployment to the green hydrogen. Another important project which I would like to mention is hydrogen in mobility sector, which is undertaken by Ashok Leyland. In both the sectors of hydrogen, internal combustion engine and hydrogen fuel cell. So they are in partnership with Reliance on development of hydrogen internal combustion engine for long-haul mobility vehicles, where they have developed 23 vehicles and they are in the trials in Jamnagar. Also, they are developing high-power engines and all the stuff. They are also working on development of hydrogen fuel cell buses in long haul mobility sectors with Adani and NTPC. So yes, I think a lot of innovations and developments will come up with pilot projects also. Along with it, there are many other projects which are going on, like hydrogen blending in the gas pipelines, other sectors also. But I think these two projects by NTPC and Ashok Leyland are worth mentioning. Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Munjal, for highlighting all those really important projects. I'll come to you, Mr. Nalapaneni, next. And in light of these projects that are undergoing, so there is this creation of a green hydrogen ecosystem that is taking place in India. So what are some of the concrete steps that India now needs to take in order to successfully develop this ecosystem?
Thanks, Saeed. I think that's also a really good question. India has already shown its commitment for establishing a green hydrogen ecosystem. This has come through the National Hydrogen Mission, which has approximately about $2.2 billion of financial outlay for undertaking various components within the mission. So these include establishing manufacturing facilities for electrolyzers, incentives for production of green hydrogen, as well as creating an enabling regulatory ecosystem. So some of the concrete steps which India will have to take in order to accelerate the adoption of green hydrogen are about three or four, which I will list now. The first one, I would believe, is a green hydrogen standard. India has made it very clear that the focus will be green hydrogen. A lot of nations globally have prioritized not just green, but also other forms of low carbon hydrogen, including blue, where carbon capture systems are added on to natural gas-based hydrogen production, and you have a slightly lower carbon footprint for the hydrogen being produced. Countries like Japan, EU, which have access to natural gas facilities as well as natural gas infrastructure can choose to look at blue hydrogen as well. But India has made it very clear, since we are an import dependent nation, our focus towards hydrogen is going to be only green. Now, this means that the standard that India will set for what we will consider low carbon, clean or green hydrogen is going to be biased towards renewables based hydrogen or electrolytic hydrogen. Defining a standard for what we will call as renewable hydrogen or green hydrogen is really important. And India has already taken steps in that direction. We have set an emission intensity cap of 2 kgs per kilogram, 2 kgs CO2 per kilogram of hydrogen produced as being the threshold value for any hydrogen that is produced in India, which can meet the standard. So while the emission intensity has been set, further work is currently underway to determine the methodology in which this 2 kg CO2 per kg of hydrogen can be met. So essentially defining the boundary conditions, which scope of emissions will be considered for this hydrogen standard, is one of the key aspects of enabling a green hydrogen ecosystem that can be interoperable across not just India, but also globally. The second piece is on regulations and codes related to the hydrogen value chain. If you are looking at existing applications of green hydrogen, they have been limited to the industrial complex of a fertilizer manufacturing plant or a refining plant. But if you are looking at expanding the use case of hydrogen outside these sectors, then there needs to be a very robust regulatory mechanism and a safety standard and codes established so that various sectors can adopt hydrogen, but also ensure that they are meeting global compliance norms for safety as well as testing standards, which can enable the accelerated adoption of green hydrogen. I'm glad to say that work on this front is also currently underway. There have been multiple working groups constituted within the regulatory agencies across India that includes the Bureau of Indian Standards, the Automotive Research Institute's ARAI, as well as Petroleum and Explosive Safety Organizations PESO. All of these regulatory and standards institutions are working in conjunction with global regulatory organizations to create a regulatory framework that can enable hydrogen adoption. And these regulations are being framed across the hydrogen value chain. So we're not just limiting ourselves to hydrogen production there, but also looking at what are the safety standards and what are the testing protocols needed for adopting technologies for hydrogen storage and transport, as well as introducing hydrogen into new applications like the transport sector, the cement industry, for long-term energy storage. So regulations are also being formulated around these key aspects so that adoption of hydrogen, especially green hydrogen, can be seamless and efficient. The third piece is on enabling access to renewable energy. This is also a key, I would say one of the most key aspects that needs to be taken care of if you want to set up a green hydrogen ecosystem. Like Dr. Guncha was pointing out, a significant cost of producing green hydrogen comes from renewable energy. And we already have a very strong and well-established renewables market in India. Solar energy costs and wind energy costs in India are one among the lowest globally. So the renewables market in India is quite competitive. But now what becomes important is enabling the access of that renewable energy to green hydrogen producers. As we see, green hydrogen production might be closer to points of consumption. Points of consumption which include industrial sectors or road transport hubs, or closer to urban centers where the hydrogen can be blended with city gas distribution networks. But the availability of renewable energy is typically seen in far more remote regions where there is limited population and limited applications for hydrogen if they are to be produced in these remote regions. So the electricity transmission networks becomes a linchpin over here, which connects the points of the renewable energy production to the points of green hydrogen production. India already has a very massive electrical grid network that's interconnected across the length and breadth of the country. incentives are being offered on utilization of this interconnected grid for transporting renewable energy from the points of production to the points where it will be consumed to produce green hydrogen. This is also a key aspect that both the National Hydrogen Mission and also the electricity regulators and electricity authorities have been very cognizant of. And they are working to ensure that any green hydrogen project that is established today has adequate access to transmission networks as well as renewable energy projects so that the hydrogen produced can be completely green. And the last piece is on developing infrastructure. India's green hydrogen mission not only looks at producing green hydrogen for India, but also for exporting to other nations. And if you're talking about an export-oriented green hydrogen market, then it becomes necessary to have infrastructure like port-side bunkering facilities, ammonia storage and handling capabilities, so that the hydrogen can then be produced and then exported via maritime routes, maritime shipping routes, to the importing nations. And it becomes very critical for ports within India to have infrastructure for exporting this hydrogen. So at one side, we're looking at an export-focused nation which needs infrastructure for enabling this export. And also, we're looking at infrastructure requirements from the electricity grid itself. Today's electricity grid majorly caters to the electrical demand needs of industries, residential and commercial applications. But if we are looking at producing green hydrogen, then the electricity grid network has to be also capable of transporting the quantum of electricity required for green hydrogen production. Infrastructure upgrades might be required on the electricity networks as well. While green hydrogen adoption starts to kick off, it might not be an immediate demand. But as we start scaling production of green hydrogen to more and more, to higher and higher quantities, we will have to ensure that the electrical access to these green hydrogen production facilities is adequate enough to meet the renewable energy demands. So I think these are a few key aspects that India has to really concentrate on in order to make green hydrogen adoption as well as export a success story.
Thank you for highlighting those really important points. And on the point on standards and interoperability, I think we will come back to that in my final question. Dr. Munjal, I will direct my next question to you. And it goes into one of the potential challenges that may emerge around green hydrogen in India. And this has to do with the availability of fresh water. And this question also stems from my own personal curiosity. So water is a major feedstock in the production of green hydrogen. And a lot of states where green hydrogen projects are being planned to set up in India, like Gujarat, Rajasthan, Maharashtra, and Uttar Pradesh, are constantly facing water shortages. So is the availability of fresh water for green hydrogen likely to be an issue? And if so, is this an ongoing policy conversation?
Well, I agree with you, Saeed. The availability of fresh water for green hydrogen production can be an issue, especially in the regions with water scarcity concern. So, specifically if we develop the large-scale green hydrogen production facilities, will require huge amount of water, and it can potentially strain local water resources and compete with the other critical uses of water. So this challenge of water can be addressed through a combination of policies or technological innovation. So, for example, in technology innovation, we can there are a lot of research is going on the direct seawater electrolysis. NCL Pune is doing a lot of work developing the cathodes electrocatalyst for which can directly electrolyze the seawater into hydrogen and oxygen. So in that respect, seawater can be of great source of water that can be used for electrolysis as a suitable substitute for clean water if we are able to develop a proper seawater electrolyzers. Along with it, I think that ensuring proper regulations and guidelines to ensure responsible water use in the emerging hydrogen industry will help in establishing the sustainable water usage for the long term.
Thank you, Dr. Munjal. My final question, I'll direct it to you, Mr. Nalabaneni. So we had the G20 summit in New Delhi, and the declaration also mentioned green hydrogen, while particularly emphasizing on the need to develop voluntary and mutually agreed harmonizing standards and mutually recognized interoperable certification schemes. So how does this interact with India's existing policies and India's engagement with bilateral and multilateral forums and programs on hydrogen?
Thanks, Saeed, for that question. And I think it's a very interesting question as well. Like I was pointing out earlier, priorities for the color code of hydrogen or for the production pathway of low carbon hydrogen are different across different nations. Even among the G20 nations, you had countries like Japan and the EU's bloc, which wanted to focus on not just green hydrogen, but also look at other low carbon sources for hydrogen, including blue. This did become a major point of contention across the G20 forum, specifically looking at what terminology would a multilateral forum like G20 be comfortable with when they say hydrogen is going to be a key enabler for decarbonization. Fortunately, though, through the leaders' declaration, it became quite clear that the G20 nations did arrive at a consensus. While not on the exact emission intensity, at least they have agreed to work upon a methodology, a common methodology which can be interoperable across borders for estimating the emission intensity of hydrogen. And then it now becomes a bilateral arrangement between the importing and exporting nation as to how they would classify the hydrogen that is either being exported or imported. So based on the priorities of individual nations, we are likely to see MOUs or bilateral agreements being signed between export-focused nations and import-focused nations. I can already give you a live example of that. The Hindco tender that was floated by Germany last year looks at importing green ammonia into specific ports across the EU. And they have already given the type of the quality of ammonia, including the emission intensity used or the emission intensity for the ammonia production process that they would require for a producer to be able to sell ammonia to them. They have also given massive incentives for any producer who is willing to supply green ammonia to the specified ports within the tender. This is something that we will observe evolving as more and more countries start to jump onto the green hydrogen bandwagon. While India is an export-focused nation with a strong domestic demand as well, you have countries like Chile in South America whose grids are extremely renewable heavy, but they do not have the industrial base or the industrial sector which can create any domestic demand for green hydrogen or hydrogen in general. And these nations are the hydrogen policies of these nations are completely export focused in the sense that they are only looking to produce hydrogen for export. Japan is also testing out a hydrogen vessel for transporting hydrogen produced in Australia all the way to Japan. I think it's a consortia between Mitsui, Shell and a few other organizations which are trying to set up this modality where a shipping container can be used to transfer hydrogen between Australia and Japan. And there are many such examples which we are starting to see emerge across global nations, wherein the policy of a certain country, while might be geared towards the priorities of that specific country, to ensure that they are also meeting global demand or also able to capture export markets, the policies can either be fine-tuned or they can be geared in such a way that export market needs can also be addressed through this to these policies. And to that extent, India's policy has been quite flexible because the policy in India is also looking at export of green hydrogen. We are looking at standards and interoperability of testing and certification mechanisms that can be used not just within India but also are applicable in other borders. India is also signing MOUs with a lot of the import focused nations to try and establish a regulatory framework for export of hydrogen from India to these importing nations. So I think in overall, the G20 platform served a very important tool to sensitize individual nations about each other's priorities and achieve consensus on certain interoperable characteristics that can be used by individual nations to participate in a global hydrogen economy.
Thank you for that really insightful answer. And I think with so many things happening in this domain that you and Dr. Munjal shared with us today, this is definitely an interesting time for anybody who's tracking the hydrogen industry. Dr. Munjal and Mr. Nalapaneni, thank you so much for your time and for sharing your insights with us today.
Thank you, Saeed, for having us.
Thank you, Saeed. It was glad to be a part of this conversation.
You were listening to South Asia Chat. You can find more of our work on our website, isas.nus.edu.sg. You can also find us on social media. We are available on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram.